All right, E-Man, I'm so happy to have you here. You know, we wanted to bring you on Making It in the 845 because you are a legend to us and to a lot of people in the industry. You're somebody who laid the foundation as far as in the promoting game and a lot of other stuff you have going on. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want you to tell your story so for people who may not know you can understand, you know, why you're important to us. So first, let's start off with telling people where you're from originally.
Yeah, first I'd like to say respect. I appreciate you inviting me on the show, Lady Miz. It's definitely a pleasure and it's an opportunity to be able to speak to the people about E-Man Boogie Production. E-Man Boogie started out from Nyack, New York. I'm from Nyack, New York.
Okay.
Born and raised until the age of 13. And then I moved to Spring Valley, and I stayed in Spring Valley about 35 years.
Okay.
But the journey from E-Man Boogie began in Nyack. And the reason why I say that, you know, I had three sisters and two brothers, and then we came up in a household where music was an essential thing.
Okay.
I used to sneak in the basement and see my sisters and them parties when I was a very young man, you know. Young boy. But then, you know, we begin on what we call a Rockland International Promoters. I started promoting with my sister, Brenda.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it started, it's family business. I like that. Yeah. All right.
Keeping okay. In the family. I used to go hang out in a place called the Diplomat Hotel back in the day with Eddie Cheebo, the Disco Twins. But N. Morton Hall played a central part of me becoming a promoter also.
Okay.
He used to do the riverboat back in the day in Manhattan. And I used to go down, I was a young guy, I used to go down and sneak in and just look and see how his organization skills was and the way that he used to organize and put events together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what attracted me to promoting. And then in, that's the late 70s.
Okay.
Then in the 80s, I used to do places like Masonic Temple in Spring Valley.
You know, it's funny, I don't know about that spot. So that was the early 80s?
That's the early
80s. Okay, okay.
Yeah, we used to kill it at the Masonic Temple. We had, matter of fact, I had, back in the day, I don't know if you ever remember this, it was the Beach Street. With Wanda D, Debbie D, DJ Busy B. I did the whole wild style event at the Masonic Temple. That's when the first movie came out, the wild style.
We got some history here. Nope, yeah. I did not know.
Yeah.
I was born in 77, so I was still, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You.
I'm still wet a little bit. It's drying up, behind the ears.
Yeah, and that's what it, Masonic Temple, I used to do the Masonic Temple, but was legendary DJ Taboo.
Okay.
The Wilson brothers played a very essential part of me promoting too, because back then we connected with family because my sister was going with one of the Wilson brothers.
Okay.
So we joined together, and I really expanded into the Wilson brothers family because they were DJs and they were good DJs. Taboo might have been one of the best DJs in the tri-state area at the time. My sister was more or less back then was the business part of E-Man Boogie Production. I was more or less the street person of E-Man Boogie. Well, the Rockland International Promoters.
Okay.
Because I was always in the street.
Right, right. All
so,
right.
So she took care of most of the business part of it.
Gotcha.
I met the people, she met the people, but the business part she would take care of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we started out as a team, a family team.
Mm-hmm.
Then she got tired eventually. You know how y'all get.
Wait, what you mean, y'all?
No, she got tired, you know, because promoting is something that you really have to be able to love it because it's a lot that goes on with it.
I see.
And I think she just got tired of the riffraff and saying, no, you know, you go ahead and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start working more closely with the Wilson brothers and DJ Taboo. That's who gave me the name E-Man Boogie Production.
All right, so let me ask you this. Anybody that was somebody, mm-hmm. right, you could get them in the building. You could get them to, you know, to bring them up here to this area, to the 845, which used to be 914
mm-hmm.
area. How did all of that, how did you get all those connections? Like, where did that all come from?
Well, so connections come from, you know, meeting people,
mm-hmm.
networking. being on the scene.
Okay.
And I had a good rapport. You know, my rapport as far as dealing with people in the industry, it was very high. Because people just, you know, celebs just don't come and do events for people.
Right.
You have to build that rapport in the industry. And I built that rapport over, you know, the amount of time I was in the industry to get anybody in the industry that I want. I worked closely with a guy named called Isaac Urshan. Isaac Urshan was a very good friend of mine. He was from Famous Artists. This was on 1750 in Broadway.
Okay.
In Manhattan. And, you know, he worked for Famous for many, many years. Back then, you know, that was one of the booking agencies. But he was a very good friend of mine. So any hot artist, right, that I needed, I would call Isaac. I say, listen, man, you know, I need them, you know. And he would definitely make it happen. And then what happens with that, I build a rapport with management.
You know,
I'm building a rapport with management. Once you build a rapport with management, you know, you locked in, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, your name starts to get out, you know, like I said. Early 80s, I was doing a place called Le Blavo Chateau.
Where was this at?
This is in, it's on 303 in Tappan Zee. It's really West Nyack. It's on 303.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know why I was about to think Blorvelt for some reason.
Yes.
Because I know there was a spot out there too.
Yeah, that was a spot. That was the spot I was running then.
Oh, you was running that one too? Okay, see.
It's called Le Blavo Chateau. Now, back then we was doing, I did groups out there called Onyx. I did a premiere out there with who I did Fushnikins. I did a lot of groups out there back then. Preem I did out there. Kid Capri Pooch I did out there. You know, that's when he was on WBLS.
Right.
I was working closely with WBLS then. So I was doing a lot of groups out there, but the place got too small. And then, you know, like the late 80s and late 80s, 90s, we went over to the Rage.
I remember the Rage. See, now you're creeping into, you know, my era a little bit. The Rage, the Silhouette, you know, stuff like that. I remember that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went over to the Rage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went over to the Rage, anybody who was somebody came through there.
Right. Absolutely.
Away from LL Cool J, Fat Joe, Craig Mack, when he first came out with his single, then he did a remix. We did a remix at the Rage with L and Puff and Biggie. And,
oh, okay. You know. What was that? Was that the Flavor in Your Ear?
Craig first showed out with Puff.
Yes.
So, you know, so they all came through the Rage. I did KRS-One. Pooch used to run through there. Kid Capri, he used to come through there. Like I say, the Black Girls. I did R&B, the Black Girls, Horace Brown, you know.
Right.
And Wendy Williams used to be my host.
I was just, it's so funny you said that. You must have been reading my mind.
Yeah.
Because I was just about to ask you, I remember you bringing Wendy Williams up here. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk, let's talk about that real quick. Because it's been a long time and my memory is kind of crazy. But I feel like something went down when she was up here. Did something?
Yeah, that happened at the Silhouette.
Yes, the Silhouette.
See, when she came to the Rage, when they used to do a lot of my shows.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Silhouette, yeah, something went down one night out there with a car.
Okay.
They did something to a car out there. But, you know, you got 2,000 or 3,000 people in the building, you know, and, you know, things happen sometimes, you know.
Right.
But Wendy used to, you know, she was a very good host. Me and Wendy had a very good relationship because of her husband.
Okay.
Her ex-husband. Right. Me and him was very, 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 very cool. Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what happened with that. Angie Martinez, she used to host my shows too.
Right.
She did some events for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did anything happen? there was like a whole story about them running Wendy Williams up out of Spring Valley, and they were after her or something.
No,
I don't even know. So that was that was a rumor.
That's a rumor.
Okay, see, that's why you gotta ask. I'm glad you clarified that, because that's what everybody used to say. Something happened to Wendy and they ran her up out of here. And
no, they never ran Wendy out of Spring Valley. Kev was her he was her husband. And Kev was, you know, like I said before, Kev was a good guy, you know, a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't absolutely, for me anyway, I'm a promoter, so I would never let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
No one run nobody out of Spring Valley.
Right.
Because I had top security, you know.
Okay.
Security that I had came from the tunnel.
That's right.
So I had, you know, Big O was my number one man. He was top security for years.
Okay.
You know, anybody in the industry know who Big O is.
Right,
he passed
right.
away. God bless his soul. But yeah. So, you know, I had top security, you know. That's how, you
so
know.
She, okay.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Now, all right.
Yeah, that's not true. She used to get a little extra. You know, Wendy. She used to get a little extra, but
right.
No way, right now. That's not true.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because that used to be the rumor. Are you still doing parties and promotion now? Like, what are you into now?
Well, basically, right? You know, the game has changed a lot as far as the promoting, being a promoter. Anybody could be a promoter today. You know, social media changed the game as far as the promotional
absolutely.
Field. But the thing about it is that even anybody could be a DJ. But like I said, you know, Zony Originals and, you know, Kid Capri's original DJ, he still used wax. So you can see who's who, you know.
Right.
Same thing in the promoting game. Promoting is an art.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're doing today. We get a bunch of friends, and your friends, you know, forward that, and you know, you come together as a promoter. Now I'm a promoter. I don't, you know, like I'm saying, I respect the game, you know. But for me, when I came home, like I said, I came home from prison. I did some gospel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where my focus was. Is the gospel. I did some gospel events with Marvin Sapp. I did some with Leandra Johnson. I did a show with her.
Okay.
So that was my main objective when I came home. I'm not really doing promotions right now, because that's really not where my mind is. Like I said, I'm trying to get a book out.
Oh, okay. And, nice.
I'm trying to do more film.
Okay.
Stuff like that. The back scenes of the industry, you know, management, stuff like that. That's
right.
That's where I'm at now.
Okay.
Promoting, I'm really not. It's a different era now, you know, so I leave it for the young guys.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. So, it's not easy, especially, I would say, in the era of the 90s and early 2000s, you had to really be official, real. Like, in today's time, it's a little bit different. Anybody could do whatever, like you said, right? How was it that you was able to sustain in the industry of a promoter? Because that's not an easy job to do. What is it, you know, what did you bring where got so big?
Well, see, I love what I do.
Okay.
And my street team, I had a street team that was awesome. See, E-Man Boogie was just, you just see, this is just the surface.
Okay.
You know, we was 200 deep, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
Just the promotional team alone. We just didn't, you know, Rockland County was the center of the tri-state area. You just didn't get people from Spring Valley coming in. You had Newburgh, you had Connecticut, you had Westchester, you had Jersey. You hear everybody would come to Rockland County. You even had Manhattan coming to Rockland County, because some of the shows that I was doing, they wasn't even getting them down there. I had the whole 11 Wu-Tang Clan. Listen, people just don't get the whole 11 Wu-Tang. All right, they was raiding Spring Valley at the raids. The whole 11. You know what I mean?
So being able to do that, okay, you obviously had to have the juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because that, yeah, the whole 11, that's kind of big.
The whole 11. See, you know, they had a guy, you know, that I was very close with, the Wu-Tang, called Mook. Mook used to be a bus driver.
Okay.
And Powerful brought him in. And he was a manager, you know, of the Wu-Tang. He was one of the managers with Papa Smurf and Powerful. And I had a very good rapport with Wu-Tang.
Okay.
And mostly all management, I had a very good rapport with. So I could really bring anybody in. Anybody, anytime that, you know, if you're an artist, you hear that I'm bringing Wu-Tang Clan in, and you coming to see this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You saying, oh, well, I want to get on that venue. You see, that's how the industry works.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody used to come up to a silhouette.
Yes, absolutely.
Mary J., Faith Evans. Mm-hmm. Everybody used to come and hang out at the silhouette.
Yep, I remember that. That's what I'm saying. And that's how, like, I knew you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because your name ring bells, you know, and everybody knew if something was popping off, and anybody that was somebody, if they was up here, you brought them here. Okay. Now I want to talk about, because you've done that for a long period of time, but it came to a time where it all came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell us a little bit about that.
I just want to add on to mm-hmm. a couple more things before I move on to that.
Sure.
First thing I want to, you know, say is that, you know, because I got to shout these people out, you know, you know, for some of the people from the street team, you know, like Ice Cream, I wanted to make sure I get his name out there. Earl Rivera, I want to make sure I got his name out there, because it was some of the captains. Pop, you know, God bless his soul, I'm going to get his name out there. These are some of the captains of the E-Man Boogie team that really ran E-Man Boogie.
Okay.
Even some of the guys who were stage managers, you know, I want to make sure that they, you know, I let folks know that, listen, you know, it wasn't about E-Man, that was just a commodity. It's like a general in the army. All I'm doing is letting them know what we need to do to be successful.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
The Fugees, you know, when the Fugees came out with Nappy Head, mm-hmm. right? They did the show up at the Rage.
Okay.
And I want to make sure I get that out there. When Nappy Head, also Jay-Z. Jay-Z came to the Rage also with Foxy Brown when they did Ain't No Nigga Like the One I Got.
I remember that.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, so, it, you know, it's MC Light. MC Light came out talking about Roughneck. You see what I'm saying? So all that was being done.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do this, it's credibility. But it all came clashing down. When you start to get greedy and you start to do things outside of what you were supposed to be doing. Because, you know, in the industry, you know, it's like, who's next up? See, and I was supposed to be next up.
Okay.
But it came crashing down with the drugs. I caught an indictment for a conspiracy.
Mm.
And I went to prison for 22 years. But, you know, it was so much happening, you know, like I say, you know, I don't believe anything that they said I did. One thing about me, I ain't gonna sit here and say, oh, I didn't do it. No, I did it. There's no doubt about it. But I believe that the time was really excessive for the things that they said I did.
Mm-hmm.
22 years, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't, you know.
Right.
People, you know, is, you know, getting off of a forgery and, you know, embezzling billions of dollars, and they're doing 2 years and 3 years, and I seen it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Madox, I was locked up with Madox in North Carolina, you know, so, you know, he was, you know, he took a lot of money. So, like I said, it's very unfair system.
Absolutely.
But the blessed thing about it is that, you know, it all depends with the attitude that you go in.
Okay.
I knew that I had to go in and I had to do time. So I said, look, I can go in with a negative energy or I can go in with a positive mind. And I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the Bible.
Okay.
And the Bible teaches us, right? It says in the Bible, it's clear. He says, man make it for evil, but God makes it for good.
Mm.
And I kept that in back in my mind and everything I did. You know, like when I went in, my education, I never completed my education when I was out here. You know, I had good street sense and I had good common sense. I could read and write and all that, but I never completed my education. But when I went in, I took full advantage of that.
Nice.
I went and got my GED and I went and got 2 degrees.
Oh, nice. Good for you. And congratulations on that.
Amen. Amen. So it was a blessing. You know, I got a degree in theology and I got a degree in business management. But like I say, and I try to encourage young brothers today. That's what I'd be doing with some of my time. Mm-hmm. I go back into facilities and tell people about, yo, you can make it out here. You know, that's where my time being spent a lot of times is going back into the prisons.
Gotcha. Okay. Want to sponsor our show or place an ad on our podcast, please contact us at fromthegroundupproductions@gmail.com or you could give us a call at 845-288-2989. Let's collab and reach our audience together.
I borrowed money off of 5 of my properties, but I took out hard money loans. How does a person go from Jeezy assistant 8 years later, you could suck on the BMS show. And I didn't want her in jail. I just wanted my money.
These divine bars. I got my ass back in the booth and sent the lawyer to stars. Are you the consultant on the show? Good. Put some interest on that dough. It's Jay Smooth, the nigga off Terry. Free T Stucky and rest in peace to Mark Berry. Dig, get your rest, we did our thing. And I'ma TKO this track like Hottie King. Where that money at? Google Young Jeezy John Hall. Yeah. Tell Latoya Map, I'm back for it all. Where that money at? This one about to blow up. And I don't give a fuck how long it's been. Chew up. Google Young Jeezy John Hall. Yeah. Tell Latoya Map.
Hey everybody, welcome to Lady Miz Publishing. This is Lady Miz and I wanted to let y'all know that I have 4 amazing kids books and my own personal memoir available right now on Amazon. You can get your copy by going to www.ladimiz, click the merch button, hit books and get your copy today. Thank you for your support. Introducing Boss Smooth Snacks, a delicious, tasty, and promotional snack that promotes your business or brand. For more information, contact us at 845-288-2989 and elevate your snacking game with Boss Smooth Snacks. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Lady Miz, and if you need any type of custom bottles, event planning, a video or a photo shoot, workshop classes, or even flyers, look no further because I got you. All you got to do is email me at ladymizmusic@gmail.com for all my side hustle services. Let's make your vision a reality. So I just want to stop you right there real quick because I want to acknowledge the fact that I love that what you spoke about as far as what the legacy that you was building at the time. It wasn't just you alone, you know, because it does take a team to make things happen, and I think that's so important. It's not like you were being selfish about it and trying to take all the credit. You acknowledge those who were helping you build something great. So I think that's important. Being able to accept that time, because you're right, that's a very long time to give somebody for that when people are murdering people and sometimes either get that amount of time or even less. Do you feel that that has anything to do with the fact of the color of your skin?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one thing that we have to realize, right, and, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, I'm this promoter out in the suburb of Rockland County, where a lot of legislative people and politicians is hearing about this E-Man Boogie production.
Right.
This guy is trying to build an empire, you know, in this county.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I believe right that because don't forget when I threw an event, everybody got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got paid. Anytime I throw an event,
right,
Rockland County's gonna get paid because you know you got to go to the beauty shop. You go buy to the mall and buy clothes. you know, all this, you know, you're going to your nails, you know, everything, right. Everybody's spending money, you know. So it was a lot of politics behind bringing me down because they wanted to make an example, you see, for the community. And I put myself in that position for them to do that, right, because of greed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna escape the fact that you know. Listen, this is what it was.
Right. Accountability. Right. I respect that. Yes.
Absolutely. But like I said, I believe that the time was
ridiculous.
And I understand why. You know, like I said, you know, I understood, you know, the politics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I worked with a Jew guy. You know, who's very good. You know, man, who was very close,
okay.
In business, so he used to tell me certain things, so I understood why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Okay, all right, respect for that for sure. Even though it's still unfair in a sense when you give the amount of time that you got based off of the charges that you were charged with, right? So bringing it back up to speed of what you were just talking about. So you go away, you decide to accept what you got, and go in with the mindset of, listen, you know, you're gonna turn this into something good, right? Mm-hmm. So you better yourself, you further your education, you get into things, you meet up with certain people, and then now you're building something else, right?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, so what happens with that is that, you know, in prison, there's very intelligent people in prison, you know. Is their situation and circumstances. Brother Canale, you know, a brother that, you know, I met when I was in prison from Connecticut, man. It's another brother. You know, he got a book out, you know, straight from prison to the White House. Because he used to work in the White House. You know, our stories is, look here, if we can do it, you know, that's why we give back. If we can do it, you can do it also.
That's right.
And that's what's more important. Promoting to me, I just want to go back to this.
Yeah, sure.
Promoting to me, right, at this time is it's not the first thing on my venue. That's to be real with you, because I, you know, like I promoted some events, but my heart wasn't really in it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it because the brothers, like I said, some of the team members in the past wanted me to just show face.
Okay.
And you know, like I said, you know, but my heart's not really in that. But a lot of promoters that you see today. Was up under the team of E-Man Boogie Production. See, a lot of people that you see, right, a lot of people will say, you know, they pay homage and some won't.
But why do you think that is? Like,
well, the brothers who's gonna keep it real is gonna keep it real. And the people who ain't, because sometimes people wanna feel that, I did it on my own. I did it on
that attitude.
Even,
right.
even some of the people were sneaking in. You know, I had people sneaking in my events, and I used to encourage them. Listen, man, come on in. You know, because we sneaking in, evident you ain't got no money. So come on in, right? So, but the thing about that is that, you know, you got some people who's in the industry right now. I just did last week. Markel, he came up, and did the interview with this HBO stuff. Right. He was on the team. Matter of fact, he's at the Coliseum in September 3rd. He's doing a big event with Force MDs, and he learned the game.
Okay.
See, a lot of people who's with me learned the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the new people out here today, is the game in Rockland County is done as far as promoting.
Okay.
This is the reason why.
Yeah, let's hear that.
This is the reason. See, the ethnic group is the for blacks in Rockland County is in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta, Carolina, upstate New York. Mm-hmm. You're not the majority no more.
Right.
You see, in Rockland County. Now, you know, you have the Haitian community, and they do their own thing privately. You know, they do their own thing.
Right.
They really don't mix it. You know. So everybody's really doing their own thing. But the American black, you know, like back in the day, it's not like that. No, Spring Valley, you know, is gone. You know, Mexicans, you know, took that over.
Mexicans and Jews. Yes, absolutely.
So you know, you don't have, the numbers don't make sense.
Right. Why do you think everyone fled, like left? Like, what do you think everyone...
Opportunity is better, you know, down south. I'm saying, you know, I'm on my way down south. So you know, like I say, the you get a home down there for $275 and you living in something beautiful, you know what I mean? So why would you, you know, stay up here? And that's what they did. Everybody packed up and left. If you come out to an event, these events they got out here, I come out now and then just to check out, to see things.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers ain't right. You might be able to do an old school event. And you know, I really have to do the numbers on that. You might be able to get it off.
Okay.
But you'll get it off better in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
See, White Plains, the Coliseum is jumping right now.
Yeah, I see that. A lot of people are doing a lot of events there. That is, I'm starting to notice that.
That's where it's at.
Because this is Making It in the 845, and you play a very important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you were talking about when you were in prison,
mm-hmm.
okay, you started to get into other stuff. How is it as far as you working with the youth?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, for me, it was definitely a blessing, because when I was inside,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, I received my theology degree.
Okay.
So the reason why I got a theology degree is to get back inside, because what happens is when you go to these different facilities, they honor, you know, if you have some type of paperwork saying that you qualified doing what you being able to do to come in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's the reason why I got it, because I believe in, you know, the Holy Spirit. I believe in baptizing the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
I don't really, piece of paper really doesn't make what I do, you know what I'm saying? Because I believe that the Bible teaches us a good man's footsteps is ordered by the Lord. He's delighting in all his ways. Mm-hmm. So I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God.
Okay.
So I don't believe in, you know, the reason why I got this paper is because of that reason. But when I get the opportunity to go back and talk to these young men coming from out of prisons, telling them, man, listen, man, make sure that you're making the proper choice, because it could affect your life, especially your young guys. You know, like gangbanging is a big thing right now, you know, on the Bloods and the Crips and things of that nature. So I talk directly to them.
Okay.
This
is inside of the jails, inside of the prisons, or in the community? Where are you?
Well, I go in, my whole focus is prison ministry. I enjoy going back to the prisons.
Okay.
And the reason why is because that's where they have time to think.
No distractions. There you go.
Know, when you in prisons and you ain't getting no phone calls, and you know, the girl you expected that you thought was gonna ride with you, and that ain't real no more. You know, it's opportunity, because now you your mind and your heart is open for someone to come in, because I need to be healed.
Right.
So it's opportunity to be able to speak, because a lot of men is broken. And a lot of men really don't understand. This is where people really don't understand what it is to be a man. Mm. So.
That's deep.
That's the opportunity. Yeah, and it's real. You know, it's real. So when I go back in, you know, I get my testimony, and I let the guys know that, you know, being a man, you know, how tough you is and how much weight you can lift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a man is designed. For you to understand, I go to some verses. I go to, you know, in Genesis, you know, giving the example of being a man is, you know, not just growing, becoming 18 or 21, being a man is designed for you to deal with your responsibilities and your character. So that's the stuff I go in and go back in and spend time teaching.
That's a beautiful thing because, okay, so one, because of your faith in God, mm-hmm. to go to a place where most people would never even want to return back, but something in your heart told you that you got to go back to help others. Mm-hmm. I think that's an amazing thing because most people, they leave, they don't even want to look back. They just want to run. But then most people get out and then they get wrapped up in a lot of stuff and go right back. But I like that you're targeting the youth too. I think that's important because a lot of these kids, they don't have that much guidance. They don't have, I mean, the leaders, I hate to say it, but I'll be looking like, where are they at? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. because I look at for my generation, and I always say this, mm-hmm. I say, well, we can't judge these younger kids because we're supposed to be leading them, mm-hmm. right? So how, if we can't say what's wrong with them, we're probably what's wrong with them because we got to teach them better.
Well, just touch on it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I said being a man, the Bible, I'm going to use another verse.
Okay.
The Bible said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Mm. That verse teaches us, right, that even when I was doing E-Man Boogie thing, I still was in a childish state of mind.
Mm. Okay.
And the reason why is that you know, when you're dealing with self-centeredness and you're dealing with arrogance and you're dealing with pride, what happened was that it's about you. You see, mm-hmm. it's about you. So you don't have the care and you don't have, you're not concerned about others. Everything is about you. And a lot of times with these young men that come in, the reason why you see the things that's going on in the street, because they really believe it's about them.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's why, you know, when you see young men, you know, you got a pair of sneakers on. I want, you know, a better pair of sneakers than you. That's what that's all about. It's right. about, you know, self-centeredness and pride. But the reality sinks in. That's why I say, you know, when I went to prison, people might say, oh, you got a lot of time. You got a lot of time. Yeah, but you know what? I look at it as that, you know, prison might have saved my life.
Mm.
Because I didn't look at it like that.
Okay.
I look at it as an opportunity to be able to come a man. Because was no distractions. And you find out who's who. You know, you find out who's, but you'll grow and mature as a man. And the community, that's why community is so very important to me. I used to walk around the yard and I used to listen to Marvin Sapp. The reason why when I first came home, I brought Marvin Sapp into Rockland County.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I used to listen to a song every day. And when I used to walk around the yard, right, that song never would have made it. When I used to walk around the yard, that song just sink into my heart. And I said, I used to tell Brother Canale, and I said, yo, when I come home, the first concert that I'm going to do is going to do with Marvin Sapp.
Nice.
And that's what God placed upon my heart, and that's what He allowed us to do.
Okay.
But going back to the youngsters, we have to give back. What you're doing with your family is a blessing. See, people don't understand the sense of family value.
Amen. That's right.
That's why every time I see you, I always question, well, how's the family?
Right. You sure do.
Because that's the center of the being of your and also the community.
There you go. People don't understand that because that's a very important thing. People forgot that it takes a village. And everybody, like you said, in a sense, it's about self. It's about me. And now it's about us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And people do forget that. And I think that's why we kind of getting off track with what's going on now. But I do want to say this because I find this to be very interesting. I kind of have this conversation with my kids a lot, you know, when I was judging their music and the drill and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, why? This, y'all got to stop talking about this. There's a lot of kids dying consistently. Now, it doesn't mean that in our era it wasn't happening. Because we still had our Biggie and Tupac beefs and all of that stuff. So things were still going on. But it's slightly, to me, and I could be wrong, but this is just my opinion, it looks like it's worse now than it's ever been before. But, I mean, I'm going to be honest. And this is just my opinion again. We did have our, you know, music that did talk about certain things that was also you could say some violence, some drugs, this and that, guns, and our generation, I think we took too much pride in being real, right? And then our kids watch that and they pick that up. How do you teach a child that sees a parent or parents displaying that behavior, and how do you take them away from that if that's all that they know when they're learning?
Well, see, today era, and I'm gonna go back to the prison system.
Okay.
And I think this is very important. 87% of the people who's incarcerated is black men. 87%. See, every person that you, and this is the issue. And this is with the foundation that I believe also. When you take the man from out of the household, what happens is you are breaking the order of God. The woman plays a very essential part in the household. She is a nurturer. She is the one to, is the support system to the man. She's very important. But God created man first for a reason. And the reason why he created man to be able to teach his family about him. So if you remove the man, you have broke the order of God. So when you see all these young men in prison, even myself in prison, the kids are still left out here without no guidance. The reason why you see so many gangs is because the young boys go to the street. The mother cannot, that's not her position. And that's why, you know, we fail. My generation failed. You see, this is real talk. As a reflection to these young men, because they're gonna go where they feel love. Mama can love them, yeah, but not like a manly love. So that's why they go to gangs. That's why you never seen this many Bloods and Crip all the way upstate. Come on, it's
right.
But you got every these young men in prison. That's the problem.
How do we fix that now?
Well, Brother Canale, you know, and Lewis Reed, you know, what he's doing, you know, the first step back that he done is releasing men from prison. That's a start. And started bringing some of these men home. The reason why we're bringing them home, not for them to come out here and do the same thing. It's for them to come out here and take full responsibility and ownership of the position that God put on their plate. T.D. Jakes said, you know, men take back your rightful positions. To be a man, you got to learn how a man has to move. And that's going to be, you know, that's the key. That's why we go back in these prisons to prepare these young men. You know, it could happen.
Right.
I did 22 years. I haven't returned. It can happen. You don't have to go out and sell dope no more. You don't have to go out and rob no more. No, it can happen. Get your education now. Now is the time. Not when you leave here, because if you leave here without no education, you're going to come back. That's why recidivism is so high.
Right.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at, you know, with the prison system. And, you know, my thing is educating, you know, the men. Yeah. Because, you know, in reality, the women, they done stepped all the way up. Look, the women done stepped up for real.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna say this, and then I just want you to kind of give whatever message you want to give, mm-hmm. and look into the camera and tell people. But I will say this: when it comes to the women stepping up, and we could take pride in that and be happy, and that's cool. But women don't want to have to always be in that front line position. Absolutely. We want to be, and it's not to say, hey, we're, you know, barefoot and pregnant in the back, mm-hmm. lit like that. It's mm-hmm. not on that level. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We have to step up because we're looking for our men, and a lot of them, 87%, like you said, mm-hmm. is locked up.
Right.
Okay, so I guess, you know, I'm very, very happy to hear what you are doing, mm-hmm. Because it is very much needed, not just in the 845, but everywhere, because this is happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is a blessing, and I think that at the end of the day, it's something that everybody should be. It shouldn't be on one person. Like, you know, sometimes they say, where's the leader? Well, mm-hmm. we all should be leaders.
Right.
You know what I mean? It shouldn't be just one person doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that goes back to it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to hold you too long, mm-hmm. but I do want to ask, is there anything that I did not ask you that you want people to know about you, or anything that you did that you didn't cover, or that I didn't get into?
Well, basically, I just like to close saying that, you know, hip hop is a way of life.
Mm.
You know, music is just one part of hip hop.
Okay.
Promoting is just one part of hip hop. The way we dress is one way of, the way we talk, this is all hip hop.
That's right.
Don't get caught up, young men in the street. Because you have so much to offer, you know, for society. Education is the number one priority. Educate yourself so that you can be able to be successful out here. Don't turn to the streets. Stay away from the streets, because I'm telling you, because I've been there.
Okay.
22 years that I've put in prison, could have been out here with my kids, my grandkids. So what I'm saying to you, you don't want to be telling the story about prison. Stay out here and do the right thing. That's what I have for y'all today. Lady Miz and husband, I appreciate
Ray the Silent Assassin. Call him the Silent Assassin.
I appreciate, you know, y'all taking out your time, coming down and doing the interview. I appreciate it. We look forward to continuing to working together with y'all.
Yes.
And it's been a blessing.
Listen, we appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with us and to give us your story and the history of everything. And we appreciate everything that you are doing in the community. Regardless, from the promoting, you were really helping the community, making them dollars circulate. Because when people had to spend money, that's what it's about, the dollars circulating within the community. And you're still doing stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So you were always giving, and I think that that's a blessing, and that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you to be one of the people here, because I think that your story says a lot, and it means a lot to the culture, especially to 845. You know what I mean? So we appreciate you coming.
Appreciate it.
And definitely, we're going to continue to keep in touch and do business.
That's
you
right.
know that.
Well, my name is Elvis Harrell. That's my name. E-Man Boogie Production. is my business. And I would also like to say to the people out there is that, you know, number one, God loves you. And stay focused. Stay focused. Do what you can do for the community and stay focused upon God. That's what I have for you.
All right, y'all know what it is. This is Making It in the 845. It's going down. And cut. We out.